lyssnar på Militärsnack, podcasten där militära saker blir lätta att fatta.
Jajamän, då har jag den stora glädjen att presentera en ett avsnitt av Militärsnack, och även denna gång så har jag dig som gäst, Kai. Välkommen!
Tack så mycket, Henning.
Vi har inte bara dig som gäst, vi har lite spännande gäster från vårt grannland i öster, från Ukraina. Vad är det för något vi ska få höra, Kai?
Ja, vi ska prata lite grann om vad Ukraina faktiskt behöver på riktigt och inte det som alltid sägs i media.
Mm. Och då har vi en kille som går under namnet Rostislav, och sen så har vi också den kände Kenneth Gregg som är i Ukraina, som har hjälpt oss att få den här intervjun.
Absolut, och det som är intressant med Rostislav är att han jobbar i fronten i Bachmut med omgivande orter, så att han är ju mitt i hetluften.
Jajamän, apropå hetluft, ska vi köra igång direkt?
Absolut, låt oss lyssna på vad de har att säga.
Ja. Welcome, Rostislav. You are now on Militärsnack, the Swedish Military Talks podcast. You are very welcome.
Hello, my name is Rostislav. I am serving in National Guard of Ukraine in Rapid Reaction Brigade Rubish of the National Guard of Ukraine.
Hmm. You're welcome. Together with me, I have Kai Räme, who will be my advisor in this matter, since I am not as trained in military things as I should be. So I'm leaving the questioning to my friend Kai.
Thank you very much, Henning. Okay, nice to meet you, Rostislav. I really admire the Ukrainian people and their fight for their freedom. I'm born in Finland, and my family farm is on the wrong side of the border from Finland to Russia. So really understand the struggle of the Ukrainian people. As I understand it, the Ukrainian military has a lot of needs, and I hope that the European Union and United States of America will do their best to fulfill those needs. So this podcast, it's meant to actually highlight at the front, what do you really need? Because there's a lot of people who are called, let's say, armchair warriors, or in Swedish it's called MÖP, a military over-interested person. So we would like to hear from you what you need in the front in order to actually defeat your Russian troops and regain your territory. So if you can start to elaborate on that one.
First of all, I would like to tell you that Sweden is one of the key partners in Europe for our country. We are very grateful for your support. It's very important for us in our hard times. In our days, more important for us, it's artillery, ammunition for artillery, UAVs, and means of electronic warfare. It's most important things because it's improve every day.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Interesting point. I have read that Ukraine is very successful with using drones in their warfare, but it has also been shown that Russia are starting to use drones quite a lot, and they might have more drones than Ukraine at the moment. Do you feel that Russia is supported by China in combating Ukrainian troops?
Yes, I think it is. But they also have more vehicles, more weapon, more infantry, but we are stronger and we will win. It's our land and we have no choice.
Of course, I'm sure that Ukraine will win in the end. And as I have seen the kill ratios or wounded ratios between Ukraine and Russia, it's actually that for every Ukrainian soldier that is wounded or killed, you kill 8 to 10 Russians, which is quite good because the Russian population is only 4 times more than Ukrainian. So that means in the end you will prevail. But we hope that you will not sacrifice a couple of generation of people. We hope that the war will end earlier. So in that sense, if you could prioritize, you said, for example, vehicles. What kind of vehicles do you need to win the war?
I think it's less important than artillery and UAVs. Because, for example, in our war, in our times, for example, main battle tanks, it's not important because it's destroyed by UAVs very easy for us. For us, more important is it's artillery ammunition, UAVs, and electronic warfare means.
Excellent points, Rostislav. As I understand, with artillery ammunition, you're talking about the NATO standard ammunition. Is that correct, or is it also 152mm Russian ammunition?
No, it's NATO caliber.
NATO caliber.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you for that. And also when you're talking about drones, are they standardized drones that you can buy on the civilian markets, or is it parts that you assemble in Ukraine?
It's all of them, I think.
Okay. So everything from commercial to parts that you can build in Ukraine?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And when it comes to electronic warfare, of course, electronic spectrum is quite broad. What kind of electronic warfare do you need? Do you need to interfere with GPS, GLONASS, or do you need to interfere with Wi-Fi frequencies or VHF, HF? What's the priority from your point of view? Because I have also seen that nowadays, a lot of the kamikaze drones use analog
yes.
radios because it's harder to interfere with.
We need electronic warfare to stop the UAVs.
Okay. But do you see that the main point is electronic warfare in the digital arena, or is it the analog arena?
No, it is in digital.
Okay. Excellent. So, besides those needs, do you have needs for individual equipment for the soldiers that you're lacking? Everything from, of course, body armor to uniforms, boots, firearms. What do you think that the individual soldier needs most at the moment and maybe until the summer?
I think our soldier in individual, they have all that they need, include their armor, their uniform, firearms, grenades, ammunition. They have all of this.
Okay, so you don't feel that that is needed today, not as much?
Yes, but we have a problem with group weapon for I'm okay. sorry for my English.
No problem. So what you need is machine guns for squads and platoons.
No, we have a problem with ammunition for automatic grenade launchers, for example, MK-19.
And for 40mm grenades, yes, for the grenade launchers. Okay.
Yes, it's very, very important weapon because Russians assault us through the open fields, and we have not ammunition for this kind of weapon for to stop them before they near us.
Okay, what about grenade launchers, stuff like that?
We also need this.
Okay, mortars.
Yes, it's a problem too. We also have a very big problem with the ammunition for mortars.
Yes, because for the audience, I'm just going to tell them that one of the biggest killers of and wounders of soldiers in the Second World War was mortars. So that's important to know. What about equipment like night vision or thermal vision? Is that also needed?
Yes, it's also a problem because we have one night vision for squad or section. It's one night vision for 8 to 2 men.
Yeah. Okay. But very, very good to know.
But it's not more important than artillery and UAVs. Yeah. Artillery, it's
So artillery is priority one for you.
Yes, yes. Artillery, it's NATO caliber.
I would guess priority number two would be different kind of drones.
Yes, yes. Because with this means, artillery and UAVs, we can destroy enemies in their rear. Their tanks, their soldiers, their weapon and their equipment and ammunition.
Okay.
It's very important.
But in order for you to advance on Russian troops, would it be advantage for you to be operating during nighttime? Because as I understand, the Russians don't have night vision, or not as much.
Yes, yes. Okay. The night is our good time.
Now you have mentioned artillery and artillery ammunition. You have mentioned drones. Is there anything else you feel that you would need to retake Ukrainian territory from the Russians so you get your territory back?
It's a group weapon.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The planes, for example, is F-16s, but it's very important for us.
Okay. So group weapons, of course, from the soldier's point of view, because supporting defensive and offensive operations, that's okay.
Yes.
And also aircraft, of course. in the beginning of the war, we could see a lot of Russian air operations, for example, with helicopters, if you look at the Hostomel airport.
Yes,
that they tried to land with helicopters and also attack helicopters supporting that operation. Do you still feel that the Russians can use helicopters, or have they stopped with that?
No, they stopped with this. Now we have NATO weapons.
You have air defenses to combat the helicopters, so they don't bother you anymore.
Yes.
If you look at the offensive capabilities of the Ukrainian armed forces, should you be able to hit any targets on Russian territory too with Western weapons? Do you want that kind of limitation lifted?
No, I think it's not useful. We only want to come back our territory, our land.
Okay. I understand that. But we have seen, for example, that Ukraine has been targeting Russian military installations in proper Russia territory. And from my part, as a military man, I think that's a sound practice. And as I understand, part of the weapons have been limited to only be used on, let's say, Ukraine territory, including Crimea.
Yes.
Do you feel that the Ukrainians should be able to hit targets also in Russia?
Only military targets.
Of course. Military and economy that supports the military operation.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so that's a good. So in your point of view, there should be no limits to Ukraine to use any weapons as long as they're hitting military targets or targets that is supporting the Russian effort in Ukraine.
Yes, okay. I think so.
Okay, excellent. I don't have more questions regarding the military point of view. And if we go now to the more political point of view, you as a frontline military man, do you see that there is more need for the politicians in Europe and the United States to support Ukraine more than they do today?
Yes, I think so. And I think they can assist us more than they keep now.
Would you like to have NATO or European troops in Ukraine to support you, maybe in logistics and other support, maybe not frontline if that's sensitive for some countries, but still supporting you in Ukraine?
Yes.
That was a very short answer. If you could get NATO troops to support you, what would you like for them to do mainly for you?
We don't need the soldiers here, for example. But I think we would be grateful for the help in our logistics, maybe.
Okay, logistics, technical support.
Yes.
Intelligence support, I guess, targeting.
Yes.
Okay.
It's very important for us.
Wouldn't it be possible for us to assist you with medical parts and personnel?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. It's always the frontline soldiers. They're always fighting in the front. But if you talk about the rear support and logistics, would it be helpful from your point of view that maybe if the logistics and the rear support is done by European or NATO soldiers instead of Ukrainian, then we would free personnel for your frontline efforts?
Yes.
Okay, so you would prefer that if that would be possible?
I think so.
Okay, excellent. I think that I have at least ask the questions I would like to ask. So I will ask Henning if you have any complimentary questions. Or
I would like to ask Kenneth what you see that are the greatest problem in from your point of view.
From our point of view is the Polish border. Somehow, I really don't understand. We have big problems to get in the supports, what is coming especially from Sweden, especially that some of the border guards on the Polish side don't follow the orders, what they have got. They have got orders to be helpful for the volunteers who is coming with humanitarian help for the front lines, was coming with drones, coming with cars. Our last time, we were stopped 4 times. And half of our convoy, the Nordic convoy, which we had made, came through. The other half came through 1 day later. So that is the big problem. Also, the big problem is on the Polish service stations, when they see our cars with the Ukrainian flag, with rather good equipments which we are taking in, they don't even let us fill up the petrols on the stations. They call us idiots, go away, you don't have nothing to do here. This was not in the beginning, but this has now, the last 5 months, been a big problem. So actually, cars going from Sweden, it's better to take reserve petrol, gas, with, and only then fill up on the Ukrainian side. This is an attitude. I don't know why the Polish border guard are doing like this.
Could it be that there have been some pressure on these strategic points, like petrol stations, from Russian people that has been threatening them?
What we have seen is that the pro-Russian propaganda, especially in Poland and in the Baltic and in Finland, has been increased and increased really much. Then on the Ukrainian side, everybody is talking about, Ukraine is making so bureaucratic with the electronic codes and so on. It's not bureaucratic. It's actually, I support it because we know that these things coming in is registered and will not end up on the black market. It will go exactly to those units, front units, who we are putting it for. So I support that one from the Ukrainian side. It doesn't make it more difficult. But you need to do it the right way.
Okay, excellent.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I would like to ask you, Kenneth, in that case, do you feel that the Polish problems, are they real political problems with the current government, or is it other parties that are trying to interfere?
I think it's other parties trying to interfere, and especially the Russian, so we call it, the Russians has everywhere their own so-called spies or agents, in Poland, in Sweden, in Norway, in Finland, but especially in Poland they have a bigger activity. And actually, what my personal opinion, I don't have proof for it, but I think part of this protests which are on the border actually are paid by Russians.
So the Polish government should do something about that.
Yes, they really should. But actually, the local governments in Poland, they should do more.
Okay.
The police should do more, and the border guards should follow the law.
Okay, excellent. I'm fine.
Rostislav, do you have any last words in our podcast, any wishes?
Yes, I would like to tell that Sweden gave us one of the biggest cash assistance package. Also, they gave us many weapons, ammunition, and vehicles. Also, how I know, they will make more ammunition for artillery, and it's very important for us. And also, I would like to congratulate you with your membership in NATO. It's our step to stop the evil. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Well,
thank you. Slava Ukraini.
Slava Ukraini. Slava.
Heroyam Slava.
Kenneth, Kai, and Rostislav, I am very happy to have had you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good luck with the fighting the Russians.
Yes, thank you.
Jajamän, det där tyckte jag var en väldigt intressant intervju.
Ja, jag tycker att det intressantaste är ju att det som sägs i media stämmer ju inte alltid jämfört med det man får höra från folk som vet vad de behöver.
Mm. Vi pratade om en sak i media här och det kanske är någonting annat, precis som du säger. Jag blev lite förvånad över det här som Kenneth berättade om, att de motverkas lite av folk i Polen.
Ja, det var också en total överraskning för mig, för att om man tittar på Polens regering så går de ju ut med budskap nu att de här logistikvägarna och järnvägarna in och ut ur Ukraina är prioriterade, så att där ska ju inte gränspolisen stoppa någonting. Ja. Men det gör de uppenbarligen, så att det är någonting som inte stämmer här.
Ja. Okej, det här avsnittet är ju en liten collab mellan Militärsnack och Statsmannen, och det här avsnittet kommer också sändas i Statsmannen på statsmannen.se.
Absolut, och som vanligt så när vi samarbetar så gör vi det bästa för att framförallt det ukrainska folket ska återfå sin frihet och framförallt sitt land.
Ja, och därför var det viktigt för mig att få låna in dig som den människan som har kompetens och kunskap.
Tack så mycket. Jag ber om ursäkt för min ringrostiga engelska, men det är så när man inte har pratat engelska på länge.
Då var vi två, men jag tycker det blev bra, Kai.
Tack så mycket, Henning. Kul att samarbeta igen som vanligt.
Det är det. Ha det jättebra. Tack för idag.
God kväll.
Glöm inte att gilla, dela och gärna prata om vår podd med de vänner du tror skulle gilla den. Tack!